Welcome to Locally Home, a podcast about building community. This episode, we talk with Tad Jones. Tad is the executive director of the Will Rogers Memorial Museum in Claremore. Tad is a former state representative, college athlete, and broadcaster. And now, a man you're sure to like, here on Locally Home. Welcome, everybody. My name is Travis Peck, and I'm the alumni director at Rogers State University here in Claremore, Oklahoma. Claremore is a community of just over 18,000, but we are the county seat, and that includes about 90,000 people just outside the city limits. So we're just about 25 miles from Tulsa. We got a lot of stuff going on in and around our town, and so we're going to talk to some folks that are making things happen and some changes. And a lot of these people are long-term, long-time residents, and some are not. But today, we have one that I would you say you're from Claremore? Is that how you people?
I was here when I was 6 months old.
There you go.
Well, that's my first memory is Claremore, Oklahoma.
That counts. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that voice you are hearing right now is Mr. Tad Jones, executive director of the Will Rogers Memorial Museum, which is located right across the street here from Rogers State University, where we are recording this. So, well, Tad, thanks for coming in. First of all, welcome to the podcast, and we just want to chat about life and the things that are going on with you. So let's start at the beginning. You said you moved to Claremore when you were 6 months old. So where did you move from?
Well, I was born in Tucson, Arizona. So my dad was a little bit in the oil and gas business. And so he traveled around the different, actually he lived in Claremore for a little bit. Then he moved all over, moved to Denver and went to Colorado. And then he was in Arizona when I was born. So at 6 months old, dad saw an ad in a paper for a little oil and gas company out of Chelsea. And so he picked the family up. We moved here and lived on Christmas Lane for a number of years, then built another house out on Lowry. And then I went to school at Westside Elementary here in Claremore for from kindergarten to fourth grade. And then they transferred me up to Ooligah because the school bus at Ooligah came right by our house where the Claremore bus was all the way up at the corner. So
big walk.
Big walk for the little kids. But anyway, so I've lived in Claremore my entire life except for a couple years. And I went off to college and love this town. It's great to see how the community's changed over the years and grown. It's been a fabulous experience.
Well, and that's, you know, I'm long-term Claremore as well. I don't want to outdo you here, but I was born at Claremore Regional, can't be any more Claremore. In fact, fun fact for you, maybe you don't know this, but I'm also part of the Claremore Museum of History, you know, and I thought when I went to my first meeting there that I was kind of like, I'm about as Claremore as you get, right? I'm born and raised here. And I think the first meeting, we went around the table and everybody started introducing themselves. And we get over to Hayes Gilstrap and he's like, well, my dad was the first doctor here in town. And I was like, okay, I'm not as Claremore as I thought I was. Like, well,
you know, and I pulled off the shelf a couple of weeks ago, there's the little books about Claremore's history. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I've never really read this. And I'm looking through the history of this town and you see names of people that have been here, like Bayless. I saw Bayless from, the turn of the century, and that family has been here this whole time. And yeah, there's just amazing people that have spent their generations here.
And that's what's so fun. I'm a big documentary fan. I know you're a big movie buff and documentary fan as well. But you know, you watch these documentaries on the History Channel and they talk about way back in 1930 or whatever. And you're going, okay, that's not even 100 years ago. And we've got people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know, that, like you said, grew up in and around here. And it just blows my mind. I don't know. I just think it's fun to put names and faces together like that.
And they essentially built the town. You know, you Absolutely. See people that, you know, like the Neelys, you know, and you see the old pictures of Claremore and there was not the Neymar Center there.
No.
You know, and
no.
You take that stuff for granted. And then even Will Rogers, you know, the very first talking movie that he did, they had to see Paris. They came and shot a shot from right downtown Claremore where the gazebo is downtown. And it was dirt streets. And, you know, we have that in the museum. And it's just, you know, that Will came and did that. And you think about what if for a Marvel movie, they came down and shot in Claremore? What if we had somebody, but they don't do that kind of stuff, that they come to the hometown that they love so much. And Will Rogers did, shot downtown Claremore. But then you see those aerial shots that have just, you know, nothing out there. And then now you see the Neelys and the Neymar Centers and different ones have built this town.
Well, and that's, you know, one of those names familiar to Claremore, if you're not from around here, but the Burroughs family, right? Yep. And Dave Burroughs, good friend of my dad's, and I've known him almost my whole life, and he used to tell the story about, you know, riding his bike from one end of town to the other. And I thought, man, that's a long way. He's like, well, it's only like 5 blocks when I was growing up. I'm like, okay, gotcha. So it's not really the same as it was. But so you mentioned Will Rogers. You're, you know, executive director of the Will Rogers Memorial Museum here in town. And for those of our listeners that are outside this realm or maybe don't even know who Will Rogers is, can you give us a little brief bio on Mr. Will Rogers?
Well, Will Rogers was born in 1879 in Indian Territory. Actually never lived in Oklahoma, even though we call him Oklahoma's favorite son, but very much influenced here in Oklahoma. With his dad moved to Claremore after he sold the ranch out in Ooliga. But Will was raised in Indian Territory, traveled around the world, and then slowly started getting into show business, became literally the biggest star in the world. He did radio, he did movies, he wrote a newspaper article, and so everybody in the world was reading about Will Rogers. He had his, you know, he grew up right here in this area. His dad and the family called Claremore his home because his dad eventually moved here, started a bank, and so he called Claremore his home because he said nobody could pronounce Ooliga, and which is interesting. But you know, Will Rogers loved Claremore. He came back here all the time, talked about his movies. Like I mentioned earlier, the first shot from one of his movies was downtown Claremore, and one of his last movies, Steamboat Around the Bend, the name of the steamboat was the Claremore Queen.
Nice.
Again, you know, the biggest star in the world promoting Claremore. And so, you know, when he was the biggest star in the world in 1935, everybody was reading, listening to, seeing him in the movies. He and Wiley Post went to Alaska and got lost in the fog and had a tragic plane accident that killed both men. And Wiley Post, another amazing Oklahoman, and invented the pressurized spacesuit, found the jet stream, all kinds of things. But when they both died, it was just tragic for the entire country. So the country came together, raised a little money, and then the Oklahoma legislature stepped up, and in 1938, they built the Will Rogers Memorial in Claremore to honor this great man. And, you know, you can't find very many people in all of American history. I think he was the most popular person in American history. You can look at George Washington. He was definitely the most popular with the 13 colonies at that time,
right.
The 13 states. But overall, you know, Will Rogers was beloved by everyone in the country. They shut down the movies. They turned off radio stations. They did closed down Congress. I mean, everybody went into mourning because everybody loved this man, and he's a great role model. And so working there at the Will Rogers Memorial and trying to introduce him to a new generation, we say, here's somebody you look up to, you know, somebody that you can have as your role model, because he treated people with respect, he made people laugh. He was a humanitarian and gave to his community. I mean, he donated money to the Boy Scouts up in Chelsea, and the building is still there. I mean, stuff like that.
Amazing.
That was just really neat. So it's a dream come true job, because I grew up in Claremore, 2 miles from the Will Rogers Memorial, and I went to school in Ooliga, the hometown.
It seems, you know, like a good fit.
It does. And, you know, and I took my senior picture in Will's study at the the birthplace. And so both these have been a major part of my life.
Well, and I think that's an interesting thing that you said. You know, he comes from a small town and goes out in the world and promotes that small town, mm-hmm. in almost everything that he does. And that's something to tie it back here to RSU, is that, you know, we hope that that's what happens with our students, of course. And, you know, a lot of our local folks come here to school and go out to the world and make big changes and do big things all over the world. And then some of them come back, some of them don't. But we like to think that they're going to be out there promoting how you can get a good education here, how there are jobs here that, you know, you can fulfill a dream that maybe you didn't even know you had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I doubt you thought you were going to be the executive director of the Will Rogers Memorial.
Never dreamed about it.
Right.
That.
Never even did. Crossed your mind, no. Right? I mean, and that's, I think, how the world is now. I feel like there's new jobs that didn't exist 5 years ago. All the time, you know? I mean, your job existed, but not in your brain, it didn't.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And Will Rogers didn't ever dream of being a celebrity.
Right.
You know, he wanted to be a cowboy. I mean, he went to South America to get away from it all and be a gaucho. That was his dream, to be a cowboy. And, well, he had to make some money, so he knew how to rope. And so they said, hey, can you come be a trick roper for our show? And he did a trick rope, and then he did a little more, and then he started talking. But he never set out to be a celebrity. But he did set out to do his best in whatever he did. And I think that's all we can ask for any of us. You know, you go
Absolutely.
Out, you do your best. test. Whenever a door opens up, you go through it. And I feel like that's what, you know, a door opened up here. I've had an opportunity to go through it. But going to Rogers State, I mean, back then, in Will Rogers' time, it was the Oklahoma Military Academy. Yep. Will Rogers, they had a great polo team here. And Will Rogers took the OMA polo team to California and had them go against the Stanford polo team, and they beat them.
Wow.
And, you know, and I mean, and that, again, that's Will. He didn't have to take a Claremore, you know, polo team to California, but he did to show them what the OMA, you know, that's the history of this university has been. And Will was a major part of encouraging those students back then.
Yeah, well, and much like you were talking about the city and the growth, obviously, when it was the OMA, it wasn't, you know, 30 buildings and dorm rooms and all those things. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a very small campus, very pointed, you know, place. But it's just a great tie-in between Will Rogers and RSU. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think that really growing up here, probably like anywhere, you know, you grow up with a museum in your backyard. Some people don't ever even go. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that... I don't know why. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't ever just walk in the doors and check it out, right? Yeah. Any museum in your hometown. When we grew up, you know, you went there every year. I think we went to the memorial every year growing up as, you know, elementary school, mm-hmm. Just to learn new things. But what's something that's different now that maybe, you know, what's something you guys are doing now that really engages people and gets people, you know, where are you looking internally and externally?
Well, when I grew up here, I remember some of the exhibits, like the dioramas. When you walked into the museum, the dioramas were down by where the gift shop is now, mm-hmm. and you went down and you looked through a little bitty hole, and now we have a whole new exhibit to where all the dioramas, you can see them all a little bit better. But, you know, we did come here some when we were a kid, and, you know, Will's been gone a long time. There's been a lot of celebrities that have come and gone since Will's time, and so a lot of people don't remember Will, and you do take it for granted in your own community. So when I became the director, one of the major events that we still do is the fly-in, but that was really the biggest event that we did. Now, there used to be Will Rogers Days, used to be huge. I don't know if you remember growing up,
but,
you know, like in 1979, the OU band and the OSU band was here. We've had Bob Hope here. We've had Willie Nelson here. You know, we've had big celebrities that have come into town. Well, Will Rogers Days had kind of died off. I mean, you know, we had a parade, and the museum was free, but it wasn't a part of the community. And so that's one of the things. When I became director, I said, how can I get the community back involved? I got four boys, so I kind of revolved everything around the kids. How can we get, you know, for starters, get the kids in? So we have kids camp now, and we just finished at the memorial just a few weeks ago. And, you know, we had 100 kids up and down the hill and doing stuff. And we have family days. Your band came out and played at the Shindig. You know, this is our first year to do that, so just kind of getting that started up. But we've got a, you know, Will bought that property in 1911. It's overlooking, because they weren't going to retire here in Claremore. And he knew how to buy property, because his property in California overlooks Los Angeles and the ocean.
Yeah.
And here it overlooked Claremore, and it was a beautiful piece of property. So when he died, his wife gave it to the state of Oklahoma. And, of course, we have a beautiful view. And so 4th of July, people will come up and sit and watch the fireworks from all over town. But we're just trying to get more events and activities and engage in the community. The Shindig, we have a movie night every Friday night, or the last Friday night, excuse me, of each month. Mm-hmm. And so we show a Will Rogers movie, or this year we've added some Silence and some Laurel and Hardy's. So that's been something that's gotten the older generation as well involved. So I got kids activities a couple of times a month. We got activities for families. We've got the film festival.
Yeah.
Because I think my biggest frustration being from Claremore is that Will Rogers Days has died down so much. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole town used to be engaged, and now not so much. And so we've started the film festival up, and we're just in our third year now. But the hope is that we grow this festival, and you're a part of our committee, and eventually we have celebrities that'll come back to Claremore because of it.
I think it's, you know, you see it over in Tulsa with the Outsiders. Mm-hmm. House and the museum and all that, and you know, just this last week there were pictures of, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio touring it and those types of things. And I think if you're coming up as an artist, as a writer, as a, you know, film star, and if you don't know who Will Rogers is, you're probably missing out. Like, you probably need to look into that, because he did all of these things that now, I mean, if one person were to do all that now, I don't even know anybody to compare him to, because there's not really somebody that does all of it and does it well. Let me put it that way too. But yeah, what a great opportunity with the film festival to grow that and all of a sudden here's, you know, Claremore, America on the map as this tourist destination for a film festival, celebrities roaming around, and that'd be great. I mean, I just, I love that idea.
And last year was the first year we of course COVID hit.
Right.
So we didn't have the event, you know, on site, but we got some celebrities to call in. They used their cell phones and they, you know, told us who the winner was. And the winner of the, you know, the best comedy is such and such. Well, we got Bruce Boxleitner, who was Tron, which I grew up loving Tron.
Right, yeah.
Still love Tron. Well, Tron, you know, was one of them. Reba McEntire, her and Rex Lynn. You can look up Rex Lynn. As soon as you see him, you'll know him. But they did one for us. But we've had several celebrities that have done this for us. So as we start building those relationships, and it's something you and I on the committee will talk about next year, but next year is the 40th anniversary of Tron.
Yeah, oh,
and,
I like it.
Hey, we've got, you know, Bruce has done a deal for us. So, and we're, you know, one thing we're doing is honoring films in their 40th anniversary. And this year is Raiders of the Lost Ark. So we'll do some stuff there. But, you know, we'll slowly but surely grow it. We've had films submitted from all over the world. And so, you know.
Literally. And I know people say that a lot of times. Like, oh, all over the. No, like actually all over the world. We had submissions, this, you know, two years ago already.
Yeah, we had eight, I think, from all over the world. Eight different countries last year.
Yeah.
Hong Kong sent us nine. And
which is fantastic. You know, I mean, that's great, especially for a first year and just trying to build. And it's stuff like that that, you know, has to. Somebody has to start that, right? I mean, I think that was your brainchild, I'm guessing. Anyway, it came out of you.
Yeah, it's one of us.
Somewhere.
Yeah, we're all thinking about it.
But but making something like that happen, you don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know for sure that it's going to take, but it's worth the risk of trying it, right? I mean, typically that's how things, you know, happen.
Right.
So.
Well, we started Will's Country Christmas, another event, 5 or 6 years ago, and Jacob was here, and we started, and the first year we had like 30 people show up. I'm like, oh man. Then the next year, you know, a couple hundred, and we decided, should we keep doing this? Yeah, let's try it another year. And when the third year, man, a boom. Now we have, you know, last year we had almost 4,000 people come to the event.
Wow.
I mean, it was a huge turnout. It's our biggest event next to the fly-in. And but again, you're right. You keep doing it and you keep working at it. We hope to get more people involved. But you know, Will Rogers is just such a great role model, and just keep trying to do these activities, and we learn more and more stuff about Will and that people are recognized. For instance, we just learned this year that Higgins, Texas has a Will Rogers Days event. And I never heard of that.
Wow.
But our team has been going around finding places that Will Rogers touched. And so they went to Higgins, Texas because, you know, Will Rogers, when he was leaving the ranch here with his dad, he wanted to go be a rancher. So he went out to, you know, to the panhandle of Texas and Higgins and worked on a ranch. Well, there's a big plaque for Will. And then they found out for years they've been doing this Will Rogers Days. So we're packing a team up in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
And we're going to Higgins, Texas to do their Will Rogers Day parade. And then we got an email this week that there's a Will Rogers scholarship at the University of Texas.
Oh, wow.
And and he was asking us if we knew about the history. We're like, we didn't even know about this.
Didn't know it existed.
So, you know, Will is out there in the subconscious and sometimes in the conscious. Like, you can watch the news and they'll throw out a Will Rogers quote.
Yeah.
If you watch the news very much, you'll see interviews in the House of Representatives, and right behind him is the Will Rogers statue.
Yep.
So most people probably don't know who that is, but he's right there looking at, you know, watching what's going on in politics. And
well, I think he's also one of those people that, and this isn't supposed to all be about Will Rogers. I mean, this is about you technically, but we got to talk Will Rogers because that's what you're doing. But you can watch some of those things now. I mean, his speeches and read his, and it still plays. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still funny. Like, it was funny and it will be funny forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some things are dated and clearly, you know, other people doing jokes and that kind of thing. His is just to the point. I mean, might cut a little bit on some things, but in a friendly way.
And what's great about it is we'll throw quotes out there and some people think, oh, why are you bashing Obama? Or, hey, why are you attacking Trump? You know, like, you know, Will said these things, you know, 90 years ago.
Right.
And it just tells you. And it's kind of comforting, too, because you think you're hearing Will Rogers say these comments about it. You know, the Senate's always investigating. They open with a prayer and close with an investigation. And that was 90 years ago. And they're still doing that today. So, you know, maybe politics hasn't changed as much as we think it has in our day and age. There's craziness, and there was craziness. I mean, Will Rogers joked about election fraud back then, too.
Right.
You know, it's stuff you're not allowed to talk about, but
it's a running theme,
you know,
though. Yeah.
Will talked about it 90 years ago. So, you know, the stuff that he said back then and recognized and joked about sometimes maybe we ought to step back and laugh a little bit just because Will did. He got the country to laugh during stressful times as well. So,
which, you know, again, you know, everybody talks about, you know, your Jon Stewart's and your The Daily Show. You know, it's the first ever political comedy satire. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's been going on forever. We know firsthand because of Will Rogers being right here in our backyard. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get off of that for a second. Let's talk about you. Speaking of politics, I mean, you brought it up. So, I mean, was that the path that you wanted to take? Tell us a little bit about your political history. Let's back up even a little bit further. You graduated Ulukah High School,
mm-hmm.
and then you take off and go to?
Went to Ole Miss. So football was my thing. I love football. Ulukah, we had a fantastic football team. And my junior year, we were undefeated through the season. My senior year, we went undefeated, went to the state championship. And I just, you know, my coach just built this, you know, can-do attitude. Anything you see it, believe it, achieve it, you know, that kind of stuff. And so just believed, and I just loved the game of football. I played other sports, grew up here in Claremore playing baseball and basketball and stuff. But football was what was in my heart. And after I graduated Ulukah, I got recruited by Ole Miss. My dad was from Alabama.
I mean to cut you off here, but you're talking like, you know, I mean, you weren't the place kicker.
No. Yeah.
Quarterback. Okay. There it was. Yeah. He was the quarterback. I just want to throw that out there. He's being, you know, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. I was a quarterback. So, you know, kind of like being in charge and helping make the decisions, but I had that opportunity. And, you know, my dad was from Alabama, so he sent a lot of films to the South. And so we were looking at Tulsa and Ole Miss, and I went and visited Ole Miss. I grew up an OSU fan, wanted to go to Stillwater, and they recruited another T. Jones, Tony Jones.
Nice.
You might remember that. Yep. But anyway, Ole Miss recruited me, so I went down there, and I'd never been to a football game where they dressed up. I mean, like, the girls are in dresses, and the guys are in, you know, khakis and, you know,
serious
sports
business.
Coats. And, you know, it was a social event. I was like, man, I've never seen this. We always went to OSU games in a T-shirt, you know, and blue jeans and boots and stuff. And so, but I just loved the atmosphere. It was different. And so I went there for 2 years. But my first semester, my coach – my offensive coordinator recruited me, got fired. Mm. And we can go on and on about my first year as a freshman, because my defensive coordinator hated my guts and the freshman. And I mean, just, you know, there were some horrible things that probably wouldn't be allowed to do today, but, you know, just hazing and stuff.
Wow.
But in any event, so I was glad he got fired, but they also fired my offensive coordinator that recruited me. So the new guy came in. He told me I wasn't going to play there. I was like, dang. So I transferred to TU and played at Tulsa, and I did. I walked on, set out a year, and the next year I got to play. You know, I'm still in the TU record books as the fewest interceptions in a season for a quarterback.
Nice. Very nice.
So I'm still in the books.
That's awesome.
But anyway, so that's living the dream. You know, and again,
absolutely,
it's growing up, and, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be in the NFL. I'm a skinny guy, but I wanted to play at that level and give it a shot, because you didn't know if you were going to make it or if you're going to fail, but you don't know unless you try.
That's right.
And so we tried, and I got a chance to play, and, you know, threw a few touchdowns. I had a few big moments, and, you know, got to show that to my kids, and just, I love the experience. So, and I got to play with Claremore guy, Mike Kedzor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great receiver for Claremore. Caught a couple of my touchdowns.
Pretty fast.
You know? Yeah, fast guy, great player. Just really a wonderful human being. And anyway, so then after TU, I started a sign business with Mike. So Mike at Ad Sign Company, which is still here in Claremore. He's the Mike. I'm the to ads.
Nice.
We started that in our dorm room at TU. But then politics called. And I don't know, I had in my heart that I wanted to serve. You know, I grew up loving Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, because I love the Declaration of Independence. I love freedom. I love, you know, I just wanted to serve and do my part to protect freedom. And so, you know, it was a small thing, but I ran for the state legislature when I was 25 in 1998. And it got a little lucky. We didn't know all the science behind politics and campaigning. I just knocked on literally every door. Now they've got, you know, on your phone, you know, everybody's voting patterns.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so I knocked on every door, me and my wife. I wore shorts with my white legs and a T-shirt. And, you know, nowadays, you dress up and you look the part.
Social media and all the fun stuff that you have to jump through. Yeah.
Yeah. So we door knocked on every house.
Wow.
And we barely won, but I won, and I served 12 years in the Oklahoma legislature. Loved it for my first probably 9 years. And then social media started getting in, you know, mm-hmm. being a player, and I was kind of ready to get out, you know. And so I was going to step down after 9 years, and my best friend, Chris Binge, got elected speaker. So I stayed on the last 2 years and got to serve as floor leader with him. And so that term limited me out after 12 years. But a great experience.
And again, you probably took something from that that applies to your, you know, day-to-day life now, and seeing some of that behind the scenes, which I always think it's funny because, you know, unless you follow politics, which I do not typically do, it's all behind the scenes to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's public knowledge. You should be able to go and look and watch and do whatever, right? But it's really what's happening, who's making these things, how things are making the world tick and all that. But when you're coming from the other side then, knowing what you know from that experience, when you're looking for funding or doing something like that, how does that play a factor?
Well, it definitely helps. I mean, we're a state agency, so it right. helped that I had that experience and the connections. And, you know, just like Dr. Rice here at RSU, I mean, I served with Dr. Rice in the legislature. He came in, he was a mentor of mine, you know, up the street when he represented Mays County. So we've known each other since I first got elected. And so we have that relationship today. And we were a state agency. And so, I mean, I knew the process. And I had a lot of friends up there as well. And, you know, we still need to get state funding. And we're still asking for, you know, we want to build an event center at the memorial and do some other things. So because of that relationship, and that's pretty much what politics is, it's relationships and who you know. And so I still have a lot of those friendships from that experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, okay, you talked a little bit earlier. You said you got some boys there around your house. Mm-hmm. So you've been married for how long now?
25 years next year.
Oh, look at that. Anniversary. Speaking yeah. of anniversaries. All so right, that's a big one.
We got married in 97, and little did we know at that time that I was going to run for office. And then I did.
So you duped her. You duped her into marrying you before you ran. I got it.
She's like, "Well, you want to run for office?" And and so she helped me door knock while she went to law school. And so she helped campaign. My mom and dad, you know, dad had a business here, so they helped campaign. And so anyway, so then we waited a little while, and then we had our first boy when I was still in Oklahoma City, and he was born in 2004. Mm-hmm. So, and now I've got four boys, and 17, 15, 10, and 8. And they're just tons of fun.
Yeah.
Tons of fun.
That's great. Well, and how do they influence? You said, you know, they influence you on your business side of things, obviously, with the memorial, and let's look through the eyes of, you know, youth wanting to come to this. And why would a 17-year-old or a 10-year-old want to come and learn about a guy from, you know, 100 years ago, mm-hmm. basically? So I think that's helpful to have. How has that helped you as a parent and a community member looking for events and things around town? Like how, well, you know...
You want to do stuff that's fun for them, you know,
right.
and because I have, you know, from a 17-year-old down an 8, I've got a wide range of activities. Now my older kids get to volunteer to help out.
Right.
So that definitely helps get that perspective. But, you know, you want to teach them the values. I mean, mm-hmm. ultimately, you want them to have a value system, you know, much like Will Rogers, you know, one of you wake up in the morning, you do your best, you treat other people with respect. You know, he said he never met a man he didn't like. And that was true. I mean, when he went to meet a person, he saw the good in them. Mm-hmm. You know, and he met a lot of people. Some people were, you know, are questionable of their life. But when he met them, you know, he wanted to see the good in them. And he right. did. He saw the good in everybody. And that's why everybody from all walks of life showed him respect. And I want my kids, and I want other kids, when they come to the museum, you know, to see this guy and go, you know, that's a good role model to follow after. And, you know, just like I said, in politics, you know, I looked at Abraham Lincoln, the way he treated, you know, everybody looks at a role model. How can you be like this person that, you know, is well respected? And we want our citizenship. You know, Will Rogers is America's greatest citizen. He's the only humorist in, you know, in the Capitol, in the Hall of you know, celebrities up there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he is a great person to be a role model for him. So I want all of, when Claremore and Broken Arrow bring their school kids up and Jinx, they see this guy that was a good person and treated people right with respect and live their dream, live life to the absolute fullest.
Well, that's awesome too. And that's a great, I mean, I think it's probably a great job and a great role that you have, in that you're getting to meet people probably every day from possibly all over the world, speaking of. Mm-hmm. So okay. What does that look like? What is the tourism element of it? Do you get people from all over the world that
we
come
do.
In?
And, it's, you know, Route 66 is huge.
Right.
I mean, we have people from all over the world And it, of course, it's down this year because of COVID, but mm-hmm. all over the world, people have been coming in. They'll get motorcycles and Corvettes and drive, or just, you know, from China, from Australia, from Germany, and then across the United States. I mean, we keep a list every month of all our visitors, and they're from all over the United States. So people are coming to Claremore. You know, they're touring us, they're touring the Gun Museum, they're staying here and eating at the Hammond House and other restaurants. And, you know, we're a huge draw for Oklahoma, and people come to Claremore in Oklahoma just to see Will Rogers. That he's still out there. You know, people have read his books, or they've seen The Follies, or, you know, and we still have people that are talking about doing, we had a guy in that's going to write a book about him, and others have talked about doing other documentaries. So Will is going to live on long past the rest of us.
Oh, sure.
So we're preserving that history, preserving his life, so other people can come and experience, you know, what he meant to this country.
Yeah, and I think you guys are doing a great job at that, by the way. And I know that things change, and it's a museum, and you have to, you know, pivot, and as the, you know, the phrase from this last year that everybody started using, but you got to make changes and make things happen. One of the big changes that's happened as a result of you being there and the film festival and all that is the theater there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not from here and you've never been to Claremore, there's the theater at the memorial, and it's been totally renovated. I mean, state of the art, beautiful place now. I mean, not that it wasn't beautiful mm-hmm. before, but comfy chairs, and you you know, drop down screen, and now we can stream on YouTube or are the events that are happening up there and all those things. How did that happen? Like, what was that project? A little brief, you know, about that.
Well, our foundation was looking for a project. We needed to do something. I actually had a friend of mine that does tour groups come into the memorial and said, man, your theater smells a little bit, you know, because the seats have been in there for 40 years,
yeah.
and a little musty. So we made that a priority, and the foundation raised almost $200,000, and
wow.
that community stepped up. It's a beautiful theater, but that's just the beginning. We want, you know, the stories you can tell with technology and things today, and Will was cutting edge in everything. We want to renovate our exhibits. You know, we're looking at an event center. We want to protect our collection. Our collection facility is bad. And, you know, we want to solve ADA issues. And so there's a lot of things we want to do. We hope in 5 years, the 100th year anniversary of Route 66, you know, in 2026, that we've renovated that museum and we make it this place on Route 66 that you've got to stop and learn about the guy who also had the highway nicknamed after him, the Will Rogers Highway, Route 66.
Nice. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've been wrapping these up a little bit with tell us some of your favorite things, but obviously you're going to be super biased toward the memorial, so we can talk about that. But maybe give us something that you and your family like to do, just that's maybe that not everybody knows. I know you're a big Star Wars guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're big. I know you're a big Lego guy. I don't know.
We do have lots of Legos.
Love Legos.
Yeah.
So is there something like that you know, you kind of pepper out there that maybe not everybody knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love to travel. I mm-hmm. mean, we homeschool our kids, so it's mm-hmm. we get in the car. We like to go places. We're going to be going to Florida. We're going to be we've traveled, driven all over. I like to golf. All my kids are golfing right now. And for those that hadn't heard, I made a hole-in-one and won a trip. And so that's exciting. You know, I had to throw that in.
You have throw to throw it in for life. I would throw that in every yeah. conversation that I I was a part of if I were you.
But, you know, those are kind of the things that we just like to do. I think traveling is one of my favorite things. I want my kids to see this country, experience
Absolutely.
So many. There's so much to see and do and learn. And that's just, it's something that we all love.
Well, since you're hole in one, did you think about just giving up, quitting golf forever? Because I mean, always think that, because I'm terrible at golf. So in my head, I'm like, if I were to get a hole in one, I'd just walk off the course and be like, I'm done. I can't get any better than that.
I should, but man, just now the bug's even worse.
Oh, now you want to go? Okay,
I don't need to make more hole in ones. I just like playing. You know, mm-hmm. it's a great game.
Yeah.
You know, again, teaching my kids stuff. You know, it's a game of honor where you keeping your own score. You play by the honor system. You play by the rules. You have ups and downs. You know, you can hit a ball into the ditch and then you can hit a great shot. And so there's life experiences, and you know, all that stuff we're trying to, you know, hopefully instill in the kids. And it's just, and I love football too. I'll never stop loving football.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan at heart, so it's great to see Baker Mayfield and the team doing good. I mean, I went through the lean years for 30 years and 45 different quarterbacks, so it's good to see the Browns. I was a fan before Baker Mayfield, but it's great to see them going.
It makes the wins just a little sweeter, right?
That's
like
right.
The longer you've been a fan.
Yeah.
Well, Ted, I appreciate you so much being here and doing this with us today and testing out this new format that we're trying out here. We're really just wanting to, you know, talk about Claremore and the people that have been instrumental in growing that and it just so happens that you're from right down the road, so, or here. I mean, I'm going to say Claremore, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for coming and sharing it with us, and hopefully we'll have you back doing something else later on down the road, if you're interested, that is.
Absolutely, and I'm so proud of Rogers State University, and, you know, my wife went to school here before it was Rogers State, and, you know, see it grow over the years, and it's just a huge part of this community, and it's just great what you're doing and reaching out. So a lot of history in this town, a lot of history.
Thank you so much for listening to Locally Home here on the RSU Radio Podcast Network. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We hope to bring you more information about Claremore and Rogers State in the future. So join us next time on Locally Home.